Honestly, I used to take psychedelics and then hop in the car with one of my friends who did DoorDash and then just like pretty much just chill with them and vibe out to music while they're DoorDashing like, out there. Yeah, just ride along just for fun because I'm like, fuck it, I have nothing to do. So I might as well just like trip and hang out with the homie.
I'm Yuki, joined by my co-host Reggie, and you're listening to Modern Day Hippie, the podcast about doing drugs in a responsible, fun, and safe way to improve your life. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick legal disclaimer. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Our goal is to educate and inform others about the realities of substance use in an engaging format. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to attempt to recreate anything found in this episode or any of our other content. We are not confessing to any acts stated in this podcast. The content in this episode should not be treated as factual or real in any way. Now, with that, we hope you enjoy today's show. So Reggie's and I conversation took a different turn on this podcast. You'll have to see and find out where that goes. It was not planned, but we were just rolling with it. So just know that the original plan to talk about alcohol and my Sleep No More story, we're saving that for next week. Ladies and gentlemen, modern day hippies of all ages, welcome back to the show. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm actually going to tell one of my favorite stories that I had while I was drunk on alcohol, believe it or not, and just talk a little bit about alcohol and how like it can definitely have some benefits and just kind of set the record straight on that. But first, have a little bit of a recent drug experience I want to tell you about. And then right after that, Reggie, I don't mean to out you like this, but on our last episode, we were talking about weed. And one of like the funniest story that I associate with you is your GoPuff story during college.
Oh my God, bro.
So first, I'm going to tell you my little drug experience thing, and then you're going to tell that story. And it's hilarious. Like, you guys have to hear it. All right. So
what's your story, man?
Yeah. So this past weekend, I went to a rave, the venue in town that we really like. And it was such a positive experience because a lot of the shows I've been to at this venue are pretty like, you know, very like dancey or like ravey, like pretty intense music, you know, like techno or more like ragey type stuff. But the artist for this one was Nora and Pure, who's this like really just mellow, like melodic house artist. And dude, she was amazing. Like during that set, I felt like rejuvenated. Like I felt like my cup was being filled up and I was like, oh, like life is beautiful. And on this night, I did break a little bit of a rule for myself because I told myself I wouldn't do any drugs for 1 month after Burning Man, give my body a chance to recover. And I was like, oh, I'm going to see this cool artist, this venue I like. I'm like, I want to do something. And also I was kind of tired. I was like, I need something to help me stay awake. And so my original plan and justification was to do a bit of mushrooms. Because honestly, in my head, mushrooms is the most like chill, natural like drug that I can do. I'm like, if there's a drug that's okay for me to do on a drug fast, like shrooms is it. But right before we leave, I realized I just like wasn't in the best mood for doing mushrooms. And honestly, I'm like proud of myself for acknowledging that. Like I was fine, but there was just something earlier in the day that was like setting me off a little bit. And I was like, let's not do mushrooms. Like that's not the vibe. So we get there and I did a little bit of ketamine because I brought it with me. And it was nice because I still had a decent amount of like the ketamine spray bottle that I had bought from a friend of ours in our camp at Burning Man. And dude, like this ketamine, it felt very like R ketamine. And honestly, we need to do an episode on the different types of ketamine regardless. But the R ketamine is the one that is less like visual and trippy-esque. And it's more just like, it feels more clinical. Like it actually like is closer to just like straight up putting you to sleep. And I don't know for a fact there was R ketamine, but I like did a decent amount and I was in a pretty deep K-hole. Like my eyes were kind of closing, but I was just grooving to the music and it was really nice. It probably lasted a good like hour and a half.
Damn, from ketamine?
Yeah.
Wait, how do you ingest it?
The spray bottle. You just spray it in your nose. It's like a saline.
It can last that long through your nose? I didn't know that. Also, I'm not going to lie, bro. I have no idea what you're talking about with the different types of ketamine. So you got to explain that to me at some point.
Yeah. Let's next episode, I'll explain it because that's good to know. Dude, I had such a positive experience because I was like, it was one of those moments where like in my head, I was like having the best time. That's like going super hard. Physically, I was like just kind of like grooving with the music. I was doing some like airbending motions and stuff. The friends I went with were just like, you are such a vibe right now. Like, good for you. Fuck yeah, let's go. Yeah, but that was good. And I didn't feel terrible about doing it. And I was the designated driver that night, and ketamine's like a great drug for that because I just like did a big dose near the beginning, like once we settled into our spot, and then by the time it was time to drive home at 2 a.m like I was totally fine. And then honestly our night ended up lasting until like 6 a.m because we ended up afters and stuff, but I didn't do any more drugs. I was chilling. I was honestly riding that afterglow. That ketamine afterglow was super nice. Had some good conversations with people. That was the best part. But without further ado, we need your story, Reggie.
So yeah, there, when I was in college, at one point COVID hit, right? And everything was locked down and I was living at a frat house at the time, but everyone else that lived in the frat house for some fucking reason lived out of state or out of the city. And so they like all moved back home like during lockdown. And so I was just alone in this frat house, right? And I'm like, damn, there's nothing to fucking do. So I might as well just smoke weed every day. So I got into this this dark hole, man, of just smoking every single day. And it got to, like, stoners who are listening will understand what I'm talking about, because it got to the point where I was just doing dabs every single day. But in my defense, in my credit, I was working full time and I was sober the entire time I was at work. But as soon as it hit 5 o'clock, like immediately like rip the bong or hit a dab or both, right? But anyways, this led to this bad situation of convenience where I was too fucked up to go get food, but I had the munchies super bad. And so I would just order delivery, like on GoPuff of all things, like not even like Uber Eats or anything like that. Sometimes I get Uber Eats, but like it was mostly just GoPuff. And for those of you who use GoPuff, you know that shit adds up fast. And like, you're just like, GoPuff essentially is just a delivery service for snacks. It's like a gas station on wheels or whatever. And since I was living in a house now, as opposed to like an apartment, it was really easy for delivery drivers to just drop the food off and like leave. And they did that whole contactless delivery thing that just came out at the time, to where you don't even have to interact with them. So I could be stoned off my ass and they would just leave the food off at the door, and then I would just pick it up usually like 20 to 30 minutes after it's been sitting there, because I was too high to fucking know that they dropped it off. Long story short, man, I just racked up expenses on GoPuff. Like every single day I was just ordering like $100 worth of shit, like dead ass. And it was like candy and chips and like stupid bullshit. And at the time, I was still being supported by my parents. Like, they were kind of like financing my life because I was still a student, which is honestly like, I'm super grateful that I was in a position to where they could do that for me. But damn, dude, they got pissed when they saw that credit card statement. They just like, my mom just called me and she was like, essentially just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And I couldn't explain to them. I couldn't be like, oh my bad, I've been on drugs. Like, aren't you glad that I wasn't like driving fucked up or something like that? Like, no, like, of course not. Even though that was a situation, it still didn't justify spending $100 a day. And dude, I got into this bad, like the bad habit of getting upsold on GoPuff when I was high, because it's not just snacks and stuff. They also have like an entire smoke shop on there. And so I would buy like
dangerous. I even know that, dude, part.
Yeah, I would buy like random bougie shit, like a fucking dab torch. I'm like, oh, like, you know what, I need a new dab torch, and GoPuff has a cool deal on one, and it was never a good deal, right? Like,
dude, they know their market so well, the fact that they sell like weed stuff. So dude, good.
I will say though, in GoPuff's defense, I was on there the other day, like last week, just to kind of check it out, see what was up. I didn't actually end up ordering anything because I learned my lesson from using GoPuff.
Yeah,
but I was really close to ordering something, because they had the PAX 3, like the weed vaporizer, for $125. It was on like a huge discount, versus, I kid you not, I went to the smoke shop the next day and I asked about the PAX 3 and they still had it for over $200. So I'm like, wow, like that's like nearly half off just on GoPuff. So I guess maybe they do have some good deals, but you just have to shop smart.
Dude, yeah. And I don't remember if either I was in the room when your mom initially called or if you told me or someone nearby, but I have this very like visceral image in my head. I don't know if it's a memory, but image of like your mom calls you and she's like, Reggie, what is this GoPuff thing that you spent $2,000 on last month?
Oh my gosh, outing me, bro. Yeah, bro, and that was like, bad.
No, dude, and you were like, oh mom, like it was just, it's like my dinner, it's just like where I get dinner every night. So much goddamn money. I was like,
dude, that's how I justified it. I was so dumb, man. I was really stupid. But in my defense, dude, I was working full time and like my parents were financing my life, and so like I had all this extra money, it felt like, and I just didn't really understand money yet at the time, so that was part of my learning curve. But don't be like me, guys. And if you ever have gotten into that trap of ordering too much delivery, let me know in the comments.
You're at the club and the music is thumping, but you've got nothing left in the tank. So what do? Sniff some cacao. Yup, you heard that right. Sniff some cacao. It's the hottest new trend in the club and party scene. One bum-sized sniff of raw chocolatey powder contains the caffeine equivalent to a half cup of coffee, and boom, it hits instantly. And the best part is you can now sniff cacao anytime, anywhere. Right out in the open, in front of the DJ booth or the stage, even at the VIP table with your friends. Now, how does that happen without drawing unwanted attention? Snogo's spring-loaded bump straws make it possible. These classy, triple-mirror polished bump straws are the safest, most discreet way to enjoy sniffing cacao. In fact, you've most likely already seen people wearing Snowgo's bump straws as pendants around their necks without even knowing it. Discover why sniffing cacao using Snowgo bump straws is being called the biggest revolution in partying since the invention of rock and roll. Jump on over to snowgostraws.com to learn more. That's snowgostraws.com and use discount code MDH15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order.
No, dude, I'm sure it happens. Like, I feel like those apps prey on stoners. Like, clearly GoPuff does. And yeah, just food delivery in general. Like, it's ubiquitous at this point.
Dude, it's actually not just stoners. I realized, like, whenever I first started working full time, that, like, I kind of got into a habit for, like, a little bit of ordering Uber Eats for actual dinner every night because I was just, like, tired from working all day. And, like, at that point, I was making, like, a decent amount of money. So I was like, fuck it, I could afford this, right? And I thought it was just me because I was, like, smoking weed or something. But I was talking to a couple of coworkers who started work at the same time, and they would do it too. And I'm like, wait a second, like, is this like a thing that like corporate people do? Like,
or maybe they're just all stoners, who knows?
Dude, I know this person for a fact isn't a stoner, but they do have a drinking problem low-key, so maybe that's what it is.
Dude, I just, it's just so expensive, I can never justify the cost. Like my thing is, through my credit card I get $10 a month in Grubhub credit, and then it used to be $10 a month specifically for Uber Eats. Now it's just $10 a month in Uber Cash, so I use that on Uber. But I also just pick up because the delivery fees are just fucking insane. And also, I've like learned a lot about these apps, and they screw over the restaurants so badly.
They do,
like,
bro. They do.
Actually, like, by ordering through the apps, you're, in some cases, like, the restaurants are actually losing money on those orders because you're not paying what is on their menu prices. You're paying like Uber Eats or whatever, a bunch of money, and they're paying sometimes like 60%, even 50% of the actual cost of the restaurant. And even them, like, food delivery is a very hard game for them to make money in because they need to pay the drivers.
Yeah,
It's a
shitty business, and there's not a good solution either, because it's really hard logistically for a lot of these restaurants to deliver, because that requires like a whole thing of like drivers and communication or like user interface or whatever, right? So they end up going with these like Uber Eats and stuff like that, or like DoorDash or whatever. But I was told that they take at least 1/3 of the money. So like, if you buy it on Uber Eats, then 1/3 of that money goes to Uber Eats and not to the restaurant, which is like super fucked. And that's why you'll find oftentimes on the menus on these delivery apps, the price for each item is actually higher than it is at the restaurant. Higher.
Dude, yeah. Oh my, bro. Now you got me started, bro. Like, in the early days of delivery apps, they would put restaurants on the apps that like did not consent to being on apps. Like, straight up, someone from Uber Eats would like put like a local restaurant's menu on an app and create a page for it. They actually had an automated algorithm that like created this for local restaurants, and the restaurants didn't even know they're on Uber Eats. And there's actually this very famous article in the tech community called Pizza Arbitrage. And so the story was that so Uber Eats or DoorDash, one of these apps, did this like scheme with one of these restaurants. And because this was still early days of food delivery and they had a bunch of venture capital money to blow through and they wanted to just get more users, they were actually giving people food at a discount to what it was on the menu, which they're not doing anymore because now they're like, oh, we need to
start actually making money.
And so the owner of the restaurant realized this was happening. And so he literally started arbitraging his own pizza. So basically what he would do is he would go on Uber Eats. He would pay, let's say, $11 for a pizza. And they had all these deals on like free delivery, because again, it was just like growth at all costs. Like, that was the stage they were at as a startup at that point. So he would pay $11 for pizza. On his menu, his pizza was actually $16. And because Uber Eats didn't have a direct relationship with the restaurant, they were just paying that menu price. And so he was paying $11, getting $16, just making $5 of like free money off of this. And so he just started like ripping this, like just
milking this,
and made like a decent amount of money. I don't remember the numbers, but it was like, it was such a fiasco because it took like Uber Eats or whoever a while to figure it out. And they're like, oh, this isn't good. But also like, it's their own fucking fault. Like, because this is all automated, like just an algorithm had created a page for this local pizza shop on Uber Eats. Yeah, dude, crazy stuff.
That is nuts, man. That's one of those things that you just wouldn't think about. You know what I mean? Like, whenever you're like creating that algorithm, whatever, you're like, you wouldn't expect the business owners just do that.
This is just like startup vibes, which I'm very aware of, having worked at startups. And the other thing is, actually, these delivery apps, the only way they like actually make money, like more than to basically break even, is they need to batch at least two orders together in one delivery. So like, their algorithms are really focused on trying to get one driver to pick up two orders, you know, nearby each other, and then drop them off. The problem is that's like really hard to do. Even in big cities, it's just, it's like not as common of a situation as you think. And so most of these food deliveries, it's just the driver picking up your order and taking it to your house and dropping it off. And apps don't make a lot of money on this. They're like literally like barely break even with just that. So they try at all cost batch orders, and that creates long waits and things like that, which is annoying. Another thing that bothers me is there's a lot of like ghost kitchens nowadays. So
right. You guys don't know what ghost kitchens are. Like a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. So ghost kitchens are just like, it doesn't have actual like brick and mortar restaurant that you can visit. It's just a commercial kitchen somewhere that you can only order via delivery. And I was talking about this with my girlfriend the other day, actually. Like, we just wish that you knew which restaurants on the apps were ghost kitchens. Cause like, I would rather support like a local restaurant in my city. And like, in a way, a ghost kitchen is like, it's probably some, you know, entrepreneur who doesn't want to worry about, you know, providing service and getting a lease on a building. That's fine. Like, a commercial kitchen lease is way less than a freaking building on a street. But I don't know, kind of rubs me the wrong way. And ghost kitchens don't have the greatest reputation.
Dude, yeah. Also, some of them are just like trash quality, but they have like crazy marketing because like they're so focused on marketing on these apps, or just like the pictures and the descriptions and stuff like that. And those are just the worst in my experience. As like a former avid Uber Eats user, it always bothered me whenever I'd see like a pizza shop or some other restaurant that had like the craziest menu. And then I'd actually order from it and it was just garbage. And I'd find out later it's a ghost kitchen. And I'm like,
yeah, I totally believe it. Yeah. Yeah. Like those are just enterprises to like make money. And it's like, I think most ghost kitchens also know that they don't have a lot of return customers. So it's just a business where it's like, let's just get as much money as we can on this first sale and probably not going to have this person be a return customer.
Right. Yeah. Dude, going back to the making money thing for the companies, you're totally right about the bundling, like the two deliveries in one not being as common as you think. Because honestly, I used to take psychedelics and then hop in the car with one of my friends who did DoorDash and then just like pretty much just chill with them and vibe out to music while they're DoorDashing.
Just like ride along?
Yeah, just ride along just for fun. Because I'm like, fuck it, I have nothing to do. So I might as well just like trip and hang out with the homie like, while they're working.
You really had nothing to do, bro.
Dude, for real, bro. For real. But I just remember like they would do it for DoorDash. And I feel like if they would be going for like 4 hours, then maybe they'll get like two orders that they actually had to pick up two at once, or maybe three. But like everything else is individual orders. And even the drivers don't make very much money like at all on this, unless people tip. And so then it just becomes like this gamble of like, how much are they going to tip me? Are they going to tip me at all? Like, and with certain delivery apps, you can actually see how much the tip is before you pick it up or before you accept it. Like, I think DoorDash is one of them. And so it leads to like this situation where like, I saw an article about this one McDonald's where there was like a ton of Uber Eats orders that were just never picked up because there was no tip on them. And so no driver wanted to pick them up.
Oh, wow. Damn.
But like, yeah. But Uber Eats, I believe, doesn't show the drivers if what the tip is until afterwards. So I guess that mitigates some of that.
Yeah, well, actually,
it's not fair to the driver.
I'm pretty sure it was Uber Eats, but it might have been one of the other food delivery apps. They actually used to take a cut of the tips that you gave drivers. Like,
for
if
real?
You tipped the driver $5, like, they would just take a cut of that. And they got sued over it, I'm pretty sure. And like, all right, fine, we'll give the drivers a little tip. Like, how shitty
that's
is
fucked,
that?
Man.
Like, oh,
that's
my
fucked.
God. I find that out. I was like, dude, fuck these apps on so many levels. Yeah, man. Yes. Again, so many reasons I don't order from them. I will say, I think a model that's more interesting to me, and I only know this because there's actually like a fairly good restaurant in my city, and their whole model is they do delivery like mostly, but they employ all of their drivers full time. Like, their drivers are like on staff and they only deliver for that restaurant. So it's like, it's all in-house. And this restaurant started out as just doing delivery and it's really good. It's like Chinese, like Panda Express vibes, but honestly, like two or three levels better than Panda Express.
You're like, it's really good. Then you're like, it's like Panda Express vibes. I'm like, dude, those don't add up.
No, it's like Chinese food. It's like somewhat Americanized, but it's actually like really quite good. And it's really great because since they have everything in house, like they control everything, they know the costs, like they have full control over their profit and loss and everything. And it's cool because when you're ordering off of it, like the price you see for the item is exactly what you pay. That's including tax, that's including delivery costs, and it's including tip. And their whole policy is like, don't tip our drivers. Like, they don't accept tips. But if they give you really good service, you can leave a review for that driver and they will, presumably behind the scenes, they do get like compensated if they get a service.
No way. That is cool.
Yeah.
I like
the food
that.
Is good. They have several locations now around our city. And at some of the locations, they'll also let you pick up now. But the only benefit to that is like, if you're nearby, you get it faster. Cause I will say delivery, you have to. I would say it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours. So it like takes a while.
Damn, that's long, man.
Yeah. But also, dude, so do the delivery apps. Like every time I've ordered something on like Uber Eats, the time estimate they give for arrival is always like way too optimistic.
That's true. Yeah, it's like 10, 15 minutes.
No, it's like 10:45, bro. Like straight capping.
I will say like I I've definitely had some experience with ordering on Uber Eats where it actually did show up like super fast. But to be honest, those restaurants were like down the street. and I've been on the other side of that where like I'm like with my friend who's doing DoorDash and then they'd get an order and it's literally we'd be right next to the restaurant and we'd deliver it, I kid you not, like across the street. And I'm just like, okay, like you know that these are stoners or something because like anyone else would literally just walk over there.
I feel like that's you with the sushi restaurant across from your
dude. It's definitely me. I used to live next to the sushi restaurant. I kid you not, literally across the street from my apartment. Like all I had to do was leave my apartment and walk not even a block over, same block, just cross the street.
I will say in your defense, your apartment complex was like pretty spread out and you live fairly deep in it. So it's like you also have to get out of the complex. And then that street was also, it had like a lot of lanes and crossing those streets. A, I just don't like doing, and B, it's like takes a lot of wait for the pedestrian lights to turn on. So
yeah, there was
I don't totally light, blame yeah. you, but I think in your shoes, I would like drive, pick it up. But also if you're fucked up, don't drive. So honestly, good for you.
Yeah, they also had a Domino's right next to that sushi place and I would get fucked up and walk to the Domino's and pick up my pizza and walk. But the only reason I did it was because they had like the $6.99 or $5.99 or whatever carry out like mix and match two deal or something. So you had to carry it out to get the deal. So I was like, fuck it. Like I could walk.
Yeah. And then you're like with the sushi, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling bougie. I want this arriving at my door.
Dude, honestly, the thing with the sushi is the first time I ordered it, I didn't know it was across the street. You know what I mean? But I loved it. I was like, damn, this sushi smacks. And then I realized it was across the street. And like, truthfully, I still ordered it on Uber Eats for a while. But then once I actually went there for the first time, I kind of like started to actually just start going there just because the staff was super friendly and like it was a good experience. I think you went there with me one time.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. I definitely ate way too much sushi and raw fish before having one of the heaviest room trips of my life, but it was the restaurant experience was good. I agree.
Yeah, y'all gotta check out that episode on Yuki's bad trip.
oh man, so bad. I was catching up with a friend today who I hadn't seen in a while, who he's actually gonna come on the pod. He's very into psychedelics from kind of like a spiritual way. Like he's been learning how to like guide people on psychedelics, and he actually offered to do like a FaceTime like guided shrooms trip, and he has all these like protocols and stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about this more. Also, I apologize. We spent most of this podcast talking about food delivery. It's all good. I promise that in the next episode, I will tell my story with being drunk at Sleep No More, which is basically like this really intense, like adult haunted house in the middle of Manhattan.
Can't wait to hear it.
That's today's pod, guys. Thanks for listening. Truly, thank you for listening to the show. We seriously fucking appreciate it. If you want to help us out, just leaving a rating or a comment, you know the drill, would be incredibly helpful. But more importantly, share the knowledge and the love with your friends. Make sure they're getting the information they need on this topic that is so underserved and underappreciated in today's society. We'll see y'all next week.